I'll just announce your names real quickly, and then we'll get on with it. We have Minerva, Marilyn, Joyce, John, Karen, Rose, Mark, Diana, Lola, Rebecca, Amalia, Dwayne, Warren, Barbara, and Shola, and myself at the moment. And now what I'm going to do in a minute is I'm going to press the *8 so we don't hear anybody else come on. Now, in another few minutes, I'm going to press *5 to mute everyone. I'll explain how to use *6 also. If at any time you cannot hear the person who is speaking, press *6 so that you can interrupt and say, "Help, I can't hear anything," or "I can't hardly hear you," or whatever. And then after you have done that, press *6 again so that we will, so that you will remute yourself. Now, we're going to wait. Let's see. We're going to have an invitation here. And so what I'm going to do is mute us at this point. All right, I'm going to give an invocation here at this point, and I would like you all to just, you will not be able to hear each other, and hopefully the sounds will come through loud and clear, then I'll explain a little bit more about the class procedure. Beloved Lord Jesus, and Magda, Mother Mary, and Saint Germain and Portia, all of the angels and the archangels and the archei, the ladies of heaven, Lady Master Claire Louise and Lady Master Christine, many of the other masters and cosmic beings that we don't even know or know the names of. We call to you, we call to our own Father, Mother, God, and our Christ selves and our souls to be alert and awake and helping us to be what we need to be tonight, to learn what we need to learn, to have open hearts, and to be ready to absorb and question when we wish. Well, when we're uncomfortable, those things that we can put on the back burner and wait to hear about later, perhaps, or to have you reveal more to us. So we thank you for this class, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for answering these questions in the past for us, and we pray that we will understand them, the answers, correctly. We ask these things in the name of the Father, the Mother, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what I would like you all to do is feel free to have a pencil and a paper ready in case you wish to take notes or record prayer requests at the end of the class. I will keep all the callers muted so that we can hear better. And again, if you absolutely cannot hear me or any aspect of the class, hit the *6 and tell us or tell me. If you would like to answer or ask a question at the appropriate time, take no more than 3 minutes. So we can cover as much material as possible. We will begin with a few prayers and songs for our protection and our help. As you know, Jesus needs no introduction. He had risen to the position of Christ, which is a position similar to if you had to compare it with something, to the position of president. It's a position. It's like being a king, only it's probably the highest thing we know of or we're aware of at this time in heaven. At his death and resurrection, he became the Christ. It is a label, again, for the position he had risen to, and that we all, in fact, could desire for us to strive towards. It's a position, the position of the Christ is, to some people, equal to the position of Buddha. Buddha was from another realm and another time, and it was another effort of God to reach people. And if you ever haven't studied the Buddha, you would be very blessed in studying him and seeing all the things that he did bring for our advantage here on this planet. Jesus will be sharing with us, through a young man named David Christopher Lewis, answers to some questions that people have had about heaven, or places where we go when we leave this earth. Now again, during this class, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to contribute anything or answer any questions unless you want to, as time allows. I would also like to share some information at the end for a few minutes about chemtrails, as I've had a number of people ask me about these. If you have unanswered questions at the end of the class, that there isn't time to answer, feel free to email me, and I will share these same questions with others and come back with a good answer for you, as best as we can. Now, we always begin with a few songs and prayer decrees for protection. And tonight, we will begin with a song called Crystal Diamond of Light. So, I'm going to put that on. The words are very simple. They are, I live and move and have my being in a living, liquid, crystal diamond of light. You will hear these words sung several times in this song. The masters have told us that our bodies are actually crystalline and that all who are light bearers appear as crystals of light on the etheric plane to those cosmic beings who help us. So as we sing this song, see your body as a great crystal of light, sending forth light beams for our angels and our guides and our cosmic helpers to take and use and project forward in helping all those in need on this planet. So here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to do one more little thing, and this is for our protection. We like to make calls to Archangel Michael, who is in charge of all of the archangels. When you call to him, actually, you're calling to all of the archangels, and he sees to it that they are all available to help us. We're going to do this one little call three times. You will not be able to hear each other. You'll just hear me. But as you are able, say it with me. It goes like this. Archangel Michael, help me, help me, help me. Protect our class and fill us with love, wisdom, and power according to the will of our Father, Mother, God. Okay? Now we'll say it together. Archangel Michael, help me, help me, help me. Protect our class and fill us with love, wisdom, and power according to the will of our Father, Mother, God. Again, Archangel Michael, help me, help me, help me. Protect our class and fill us with love, wisdom, and power according to the will of our Father, Mother, God. One more time. Archangel Michael, help me, help me, help me. Protect our class and fill us with love, wisdom, and power according to the will of our Father, Mother, God. Amen. Now we're going to do a brief meditation and breathing exercise and visualization exercise. It's not very long. It's something that gives me great joy. It's very important in this time for us to know more about the Mother Light and the Mother aspect of our Father, Mother, God. The Masters have been telling us now for some months, more and more so as the days go on, that we need to have the Mother Light, the virtues of the Mother, the gentleness, the compassion, the love, the understanding that it is particularly from the feminine aspect. And Mother Mary is the example and the representative of that for many of us. There's also Kuan Yin, and there's other very wonderful ladies in heaven that are there rooting for us to learn more about the Mother Light. And so tonight we're going to do a short breathing visualization meditation. And when you hear the word receiving in this meditation, I want you to breathe in while visualizing yourself receiving a powerful light entering again your body cells and lighting you up like a Christmas tree. Put your feet flat on the floor with at least one palm upward, your knees not crossed, your legs not crossed, but flat on the floor, your eyes closed, and visualize yourself receiving light from Mother Mary into your heart as you breathe in and hold your breath while visualizing. I am going to say a little meditation affirmation here, and you breathe in while I'm saying it. I am receiving Mother Mary's presence. Breathe in. In the secret chamber of my heart, hold your breath. Then when I say the next part, you can breathe out. I am a mother of healing for the earth. Gently blow the air out through your mouth while sending your light rays with the light of the Holy Spirit you are breathing out to heal the planet and all who are on it. See your rays going into the homeless, the starving children of Darfur, comforting their souls, and wherever else you want these rays to go. We'll do this again. Breathe in. I am receiving Mother Mary's presence in the secret chamber of my heart. Hold it. Now breathe out as I say this. I am a mother of healing for the earth. All men are also mothers. God is a father and a mother. I want you to be encouraged, guys. Again, I am receiving, breathe in, Mother Mary's presence in the secret chamber of my heart. Hold it. I am a mother of healing for the earth. Now I'm going to give you another little one here. I will say I am receiving divine perfection from the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And again, you can breathe in. I am receiving divine perfection from the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hold your breath again while visualizing the light coming in from the heart of Mary and filling you up and overflowing you with light. This is the action of the Holy Spirit who resides in all about us in the air and enters us as we breathe. Visualize this coming forth from her heart. Now, visualizing the violet flame fire going forth into the unborn children and the seventh root race, manifesting miracle light, ideas, and works for mankind. We'll do it once more, but as you visualize this light going into the pregnant mothers all over the planet, breathe out your rays of light with the Holy Spirit and see them entering the wombs of the mothers like zillions of dots of light all over the planet. See the earth turning around and all those little dots lighting up. Okay, here we go again. We're going to breathe in. I am receiving divine perfection from the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Hold it. Breathe out. I am visualizing the violet flame fire going forth into the unborn children and the seventh root race, manifesting miracle light, ideas, and works for mankind. Now you can open your eyes again, relax, and we are now ready to play our darshan. The darshan tonight I have titled as Jesus Answers Our Questions About Heaven. We have been aware the Masters reside or go to the 18th level. At least this is what they tell us. So we will start with a question on that. I happen to be the one that asked this question of Jesus on this particular day. And it was very interesting, the answer that came through. So here we go.
Question. Which comes from the beloved Reverend Donna Course. We have been aware that the Masters reside or go to the 18th level above the astral plane. Do they ever work with souls that are on the levels 2 through 17? Yes. The Ascended Masters do work with souls, primarily on the 10th and higher levels, but occasionally I think that there's an error in this question, and he is addressing it, because she said the 18th level of the astral plane. I think she meant the etheric plane. The Ascended Masters do not reside or go to the 18th level of the astral plane. They reside, I think she meant the etheric plane. So the Master is correcting the question so that there's clarity. The Ascended Masters do work with souls in the etheric level on the 10th, primarily on the 10th and above, and occasionally on lower planes, in the etheric plane. I think that was your question.
It
was. The Ascended Masters work with us, and we dwell in an on-a-planetary body that has many levels of both the astral and etheric vibrating within the planetary sphere at the same time. They can appear to souls on the 10th level and above easier because they are vibrating at a higher frequency. They can work with souls at lower levels of the etheric, but part of it depends on the sponsorship of a particular soul by a particular master, their level of balance, their karma balance, and all of these are factors, whether they accept that the Ascended Masters exist. A lot of people who are beautiful Christians would pass and go to a certain level of the etheric plane, but would only accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so other Ascended Masters wouldn't necessarily work with them, but they would send emissaries or other friends of life streams who work with Jesus, because that is who these souls would accept as ones who, you know, they would listen to, they would understand. And gradually, as souls understand greater teaching and the higher truths and the higher wisdom, that other masters and other unascended masters could appear and work with them at different levels of the etheric.
Okay, we're going to stop for just a minute and talk about what we just read, or just what we just heard. We know now that there are 33 planes going upward, and there are 33 going downward. We're not going to talk about the ones going downward in particular. Does anyone wish to briefly comment on the etheric planes going up or coming down, very briefly, or have anything to add on this? Barbara, maybe you or Dwyn, or whoever else is on here that may have some information on that, you may comment on it now by pressing star 6.
But, Donna, this is Barbara.
Uh-huh.
A beautiful illustration of the levels of the etheric plane is found in the drawings for Dante's Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Those pictures are fairly well known in religious circles, and they show the rings and rings and rings of angels in the air. And that's a good way to visualize in your own mind the different levels of heaven.
Yes, that is a good idea. That's excellent. I might just mention here that I remember hearing about a young teenager who had become depressed due to some other teenagers giving her a really hard time. And as a result, she committed suicide. David Lewis was able to make contact with El Moria, one of the masters, regarding this young lady, and he learned that she had been an angel in a previous time, who had volunteered to come here. Now, many of us may be angels that are here voluntarily, so this isn't unusual. The problem is that our souls acquire serious karma for suicide. Now, this girl was able to go back up to the seventh plane of heaven for now, and there were a lot of people praying for her, soul. I don't know how much that has to do with it, but it may be several incarnations before she is able to rejoin the angelic realm. She was a dear, lovely young lady, and the realms above are very pleasant, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit. I also had a dear friend who died a few years ago, and Elizabeth Clare Prophet related to us that this lady had gone to the seventh plane upwards also, and that the reason she had died prematurely, not before she was really supposed to, was because of abuses to her body, such as smoking and caffeine. She suffered a series of strokes, and she died early. She did struggle, however, with bitterness and pain towards family members, and that may be why she did not go past the seventh plane. Her husband had run off with her niece. His niece by marriage. So be sure you forgive the people in your family that do awful things. And we all have people that in our families, or most of us do, that we've had to struggle with. This lady probably did not forgive her husband and niece. As I recall, she was pretty upset with them. And I don't blame her. In the physical, worldly terms, it's a hard thing. Okay, here we go.
But it's problematic for an ascended master to appear to souls below a certain level because, as we've heard the teaching through Mother, if they are rejected, there is, in a certain level, a karma for the rejection of the master. And so the masters don't want to place either themselves or those souls in the precarious situation of having to be rejected.
And they do not want that soul to make the karma of the rejection. So why do you think people in one of the heavens or one of the etheric planes going upward would reject one of the masters? Well, the Bible uses the term, and I'm sure you've heard it, in heaven as it is on earth, and it indicates that we carry our belief system with us when we transcend. So if we have been good people, but we do not have a particular belief system, we will go to a level of where there are a lot of good people that don't have particular belief systems, or maybe in the same category as we are. If we have been dedicated Christians, we will go to a level or a place on that level where everyone is a dedicated Christian, and we will probably be welcomed by people singing hymns and honoring only Jesus. If a master turned up there, he would probably be rejected, and the soul rejecting him would acquire some karma for rejecting the truth that the master is offering him. And I don't know if you've read a book, I've told some people about it in the past, it's a true story, it's called 90 Minutes in Heaven by a man named Don Piper, and you can find it on Amazon.com. But he tells about dying in a car accident, and of course 90 minutes later they managed to revive him. When he says here, when I died, I didn't float through a long dark tunnel. I had no sense of fading away or of coming back. I never felt my body being transported into the light. I heard no voices calling to me or anything. Simultaneous with my last recollection of seeing the bridge and the rain, a light enveloped me with a brilliance beyond comprehension. In my next moment of awareness, I was standing in heaven. Joy pulsated through me as I looked around, and at that moment I became aware of a large crowd of people. They stood in front of a brilliant gate. I have no idea how far away they were. Such things as distance didn't matter. As the crowd rushed toward me, I didn't see Jesus, but I did see people I had known, and they all surged toward me. I knew instantly that all of them had died during my lifetime. Their presence seemed absolutely natural. They rushed toward me, and every person was smiling, shouting, and praising God. Although no one said so, intuitively I knew that they were my celestial welcoming committee. It was as if they had all gathered just outside Heaven's Gate waiting for me. And then he goes on telling about the different relatives and friends that had passed on before that he recognizes. So it's interesting. We have all our different concepts of heaven, but let's just go on here and see what else Jesus has to say through David as David waits on his answers.
And so they would not have that soul make the karma of the rejection. Vibrating at the 18th and above level of the etheric plane, the ascended masters are comfortable, but when they descend to other levels, it's as if they have to wear armor or lower their vibration in order to actually appear to souls at lower vibrating levels. Each level has a vibration. And an ascended master vibrating at the level of the 18th level of the etheric plane would not be necessarily visible to a soul at the 17th level normally. The ascended master would have to step down the vibrational weight of this aura and being to appear at a lower level. These are all like veils, and there's a guardian action of each veil between the levels of, and the planes of being that is a protective layer such that those who cannot sustain a vibration at a certain frequency cannot really completely live in that next level until they learn to sustain that frequency by self-mastery, by gaining greater God consciousness, and by attunement and self-sacrifice, etc.
Maybe some of you are familiar with the story of Lazarus in the Bible. You can look it up and read it if you want. It's Luke 16, around verse 19. This Lazarus was a beggar who begged for scraps of food from a rich man's table. He died, and then soon after, the rich man died. Now, the rich man caught a vision of the beggar Lazarus, and he called out for Lazarus to bring him some water because he was miserable in the level of hell that he was sent to when he died. So he apparently went down below in one of the astral levels. But Lazarus could not come because it says in verse 26, and I quote it here, "Between us and you there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So the rich man was stuck until or unless he reincarnated. So now we'll move on from there.
So once you have penetrated a certain veil by being steadfast, constant in your spiritual work, then you can live there. And then gradually you can sustain more and a higher level of vibration. And then when you have maintained that for a season and in some cases a lifetime, then you can move on to a higher level. It is the goal of a soul to ascend. But for most people, they can't just jump from the second level of the etheric to the 18th all at once. It's not like a rapture occurs where you're just suddenly subsumed into God without effort, without self-mastery, without going through the tests and trials that bring you to that level of God mastery. And so the key of each embodiment is to gain greater mastery, to balance the karma. And by the fact that you are balancing karma and your electronic belt lessens, there's less of a ballast of density and weight to keep you at those lower levels. And so you naturally rise. And the great gift of the violet flame, the violet transcending singing flame, and the violet laser light, is that you can more quickly gain self-mastery by balancing the karma, by eliminating the ballast of the past, misuses of the sacred fire and of God's energy to rise in a quicker way.
All right. Now, what David is doing is something interesting here. He goes back and forth. He very often will look and see what, he says sometimes he can see the words running across the front of his forehead, like ticker tape, and other times he hears the words coming into his head. And so sometimes he speaks like he's in a trance almost, but he's not. He's awake, but he's very much in a state of meditation. And other times it's like he listens for a minute and then he shares what he's hearing. Now, what does it mean to eliminate the ballast of the past and the misuses of the sacred fire with a violet flame? Would somebody like to answer that? If you would like to answer that, press star and then 6.
This is Twin. As we transmute or free ourselves of our deeds, bad deeds, karma, and we turn our direction to the light. Certainly the violet flame prayers are a quickened way to do that. We simply lighten up in all ways. We're not no longer carrying the heavy burden of the karma. And so that frees us up to do higher work, to advance spiritually and have greater healing.
That's right. That's right. It makes us actually lighter. We can't see the heaviness that accumulates around us. I have read in books in the past that this looks like a barrel that we're standing in full of dark, dirty dirt, to be just very literal. And that when we visualize the violet flame coming into us and when we do violet flame calls, it dissolves, just like Dwayne said. And then we're lighter. And we can come up higher. We are more likely to have a greater attunement and more sensitivity to what our Father, Mother, God is trying to tell us, especially when we meditate. Meditation is something that is very highly, strongly recommended by the Masters right now in this day and age. And one reason is because we don't know how long we're going to be able to communicate with each other by telephone, by satellite and other things that could be come to an end. And we need to be able to know what God wants us to do in tough situations. Did somebody else want to talk? Okay, let me just suggest this. What are some simple violet flame mantras or affirmations we can say while we're driving in our cars, doing dishes, or other mundane tasks? For instance, I'll give you one. This is a little bit longer, but it goes like this. And I say this when I'm doing my exercises. I say it when I'm taking a shower. I say it in the car. And it goes like this. Beloved Saint Germain, I claim the flame of the seventh age, and I roll back the darkness on the earth, and I claim the victory of the violet laser light in this hour. And as I'm saying that, I see this darkness rolling up like a carpet being rolled up all across the earth, and I see light penetrating everybody that I can think of on this planet and beyond. And as you know, as you practice something like this, it becomes more and more real. Anybody else have any mantras or sayings, violet flame things that you can say as you're traveling, or blue flame, or any decrees or prayers that you like to say that are brief and short, but you can say them?
Good.
Yes.
Could those be sent to us, that email? So that
yes. I will send this out to everybody who I have on my email list. I will send you out several of them. Just make sure that I've got your email address, or I will mail them to you if you call me and tell me you would like me to mail you one. Okay, any other suggestions that anybody has?
Donna? I say, I do this kind of in a sing-songy way when I'm doing housework, because it kind of keeps me moving, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I feel lighter, but I just sing, I am a being of violet fire, I am the freedom God desires, and you can just make it like a little chant and give it a little rhythm. I do that when I'm doing any kind of drudge work, because it just lifts my spirits, and I get through it a lot quicker, and I can visualize the violet flame scrubbing everything when I'm scrubbing things, and it's just supposed to be the cosmic eraser, so we can all be scrub women for Saint Germain and just that violet flame with mundane tasks, and it really helps a lot.
Oh, yes, yes. And I'll tell you something that gives me more energy. There's a little blue flame one. In fact, it's supposed to be stronger now than ever before. And it says, I am Il Moria, where I am as I stand in his fire. I will be an electrode of blue fire light to save a planet and her people, for Il Moria and for the great divine director. The blue flame is representative of power. And the violet flame, which contains both blue and pink, is more representative of love, but it also represents energy and power too. But it's mainly known for its ability to erase, as Barbara said, and dissolve. Okay, let's go on here now to the next phase.
Now, some people, by giving a tremendous amount of violet fire, balance the karma, but they don't have the self-same mastery of the initiated path by interacting with people and passing certain tests and growing in certain graces of the spirit. And this is why we have to understand our psychology, because unless you interact with people, you have a certain balance in your being, of being able to interact with, work with groups in harmony, sustain a work project or a major life project for a certain period of time, and maintain that balance. It's difficult for you to be trusted by the Ascended Masters to then live at a higher level and plane of being on a continuous basis, because there may be some little glitches in your personality and your and the makeup of your emotional body, and therefore work on our psychology is so key to understand the science of being.
Would anybody like to make suggestions as to how we can work on our psychology?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, may I say something, or are you?
Please do.
When you were discussing Lazarus and the rich man and how they communicated with Chuck, it was on Larry King's show on CNN when Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi's wife were on and said that they had been contacted by a guru in India, that John Belushi told them he was in a place where he didn't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know this method, Indian man. And he called them, and they prayed to get him to move on. That was on television.
That's very interesting. I know a lot of people, you have to be very careful that, and know that you're in touch with your Father, Mother, God, or you could be in danger sometimes of being contacted by the wrong energies on this planet. We are down here at right at the middle between the etheric and the Sirius lower astral planes. And a lot of people that are on this plane where we live are thinking sometimes that they're in contact with God when it may be a mischievous astral being who didn't believe in anything and didn't want to go anywhere and is just hanging around here on this planet having fun fooling people. And but this is that's very good. That's very interesting that you mentioned that.
Well, it's famous people are interested in these things too.
Yes, they are. You're right. Look at Shirley MacLaine. She's written books about all kinds of interesting experiences that she's had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one of the things that I would suggest here is for people to make sure that you know where you are psychologically. I happen to know at least two people that are counselors or psychologists and that would be glad to help anyone over the phone. If they know you are in a class like this, they would probably charge you very little, if anything. Also, it's good to take classes such as one that I know of called Nonviolent Communication. And this is a class that teaches you how to speak with, communicate, and answer anybody in a calm, caring, understanding way. It teaches you how to reflect back, how not to react, but to act right. When we react to something, it's very often incorrect because we are reacting to the moment rather than stopping and acting with God. So there are a lot of classes and things that people can take to help them grow in their psychological and emotional well-balance. Of course, the violet flame helps there too. It helps a lot. But we also need to put forth effort to help ourselves, and that particularly is important in working with other people. One of the things that the masters are encouraging now in a lot of the dictations is community work or teamwork, work where you have an opportunity to be on a committee. You're never going to have everybody on your committee be that perfect person. And the reason for that is because we all learn from rubbing on and off of each other in our little idiosyncrasies and our problems and our challenges. We learn from each other. Okay, let's go on here.
And those who react to any disciplines of the Ascended Masters coming through the messengers, coming through whoever it is in their life, and life itself as the teacher, have a difficult time in moving on and especially preparing for their ascension, even if they have balanced over 50% of their karma, because if these little emotional quirks occur and are sustained in their being, it can be problematic for a certain spiritual homeostasis. And that is why we've been admonished to work on ourselves. psychology and to clear these subconscious blocks and to master the science of compassionate communication, MBC, etc., because these are all keys to bringing us greater balance. Now, when some cycle occurs in an individual and the planets are aligned within them, where the planetary rebellion is opened through their consciousness and they don't even know it, that's the problem. And so gaining greater sensitivity to your own soul by meditation, by deep contemplation and times of silence, complete silence, and simply going with that and being with God and loving your presence are key, because if you are always talking, if you are always gabbing, always having to state your opinion or somehow give to others who you think you are, without that time of deep reverential silence and contemplation, you cannot really fully be trusted to maintain the silence of cosmic beingness that we are all being drawn into in the cycle of moving into Aquarius and solar beingness. All the teachings that we've been receiving are key to us. And so the Masters come today, and Jesus comes to tell you that many of us should consider taking time for complete silence, whether it's for certain periods of time during the day, or even doing a voice fast, and only speaking those things that are absolutely essential for our life, for our family, etc., and watching our words, because this is where we create a lot of our karma.
Has anybody ever done a voice fast, or has anybody heard about it, read about it, and would like to talk about what a voice fast is?
Well, Donna?
Yes.
You know me pretty well. I have to interject a little note of humor here. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
I sent my brother a birthday card one time that said, "In honor of your birthday, I observed a moment of silence." You open it up and it says, "It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do."
Yes.
But the voice fast discipline is, you do it in the right spirit, can be very beneficial. You don't have to do it like for days or weeks at a time. You can do it for, you know, half a day or whatever, but just try it. It's a great way to learn to focus your energy, and especially for those of, like me, who love to yak to people, it can be a real challenge. So then you have to decide, you know, is this a decision, or is my mouth just like running water, you know, that just kind of happens of its own accord with no will involved. But it's good to think very specifically about what we say and why we say it, so there's more purpose in our speech instead of just chatter.
Definitely, yes. That's very good. And it sometimes forces us to stop and go in to ourselves and talk to our Father, Mother, God. We want to talk to somebody really bad, we can talk to our Father, Mother, God without speaking out loud. Okay, let's go on here.
Now, how does this all relate to the question of where the Ascended Masters appear and do they work with souls on these levels? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because the Ascended Masters vibrate at such a high level of beingness that if they are uncomfortable in being in your presence because of something that is interacting in your world, then do you really want to be the one to call to them and demand that they interact with you? Or do you want to gain the self-mastery of having that sensitivity to know when these forces are acting through you, such that you can rise in consciousness and perceive them at a higher level where they feel comfortable and your good. Moving on from being a chua to a disciple to a friend, a brother, and eventually a master, you understand the science of being and how maintaining presence, focus, and light, you can then learn to become comfortable in the ascended master's presence as they step down a little bit, but not too much, their vibration. Those clairvoyants who see them have gained that knowledge of a certain understanding of the ascended masters and who they are by their mastery of the third eye and the law of God's sight. And the ascended masters appear to some who have surrendered in past lives and now in this one to a level where they are able to see. Others can feel. Some never see but feel. And some simply trust and neither see nor feel, but trust and believe through blind faith, so to speak. But the ascended masters are hoping that we no longer see through a glass darkly, but will eventually rise because of our vibration and our work on our psychology to the point where we can first intimate and feel their presence and then eventually be able to see them with our inner sight. And doing this requires great joy on the path and a great amount of surrender and a daily surrender of something of the lesser self. So I, for one, know that I am constantly hearing, as I am being the receptor for and the instrument of the teaching, I'm receiving the same message and taking it to heart just as each of us do, and realize that I have to work on myself just as we all have to work on ourselves. I'm no exception to the disciplines of the Spirit. And, of course, when this thing happened this morning, I have to go within and say, oh, Lord, what within me is out of alignment or rebellious, and can I put into the flame? And so I did this morning at a very deep level of my being. I went to North Glastonbury to where the statue of Mother Mary was and gave my ritual of mercy and was seeing the light blazing across all of Paradise Valley and hopefully healing hearts and minds and souls. And we have to have mercy on ourselves, but we have to have mercy on the ascended masters too. And sometimes they come maybe with an energy that we may not be comfortable with, and we wonder why they are doing what they are doing. But it is for the purpose that we do not get lax or rest on our laurels, and that we can maintain stability, harmony, and move into higher presence.
I will just mention here that I believe that this particular incident he was talking about was this suicide incident. He felt that he had missed something, and if he had only known about this girl's trouble, he could have been there for her. The little girl I mentioned that had been an angel in a past lifetime. And again, I want to mention that many of us have been angels. Some of us may have been masters or other things. I do not know what we have been in our past lifetimes, but some of us have volunteered to come back. Some of us are just working our way on up the ladder, so to speak, and coming up higher spiritually so we can be more available to do what God wants. Does anybody want to add anything to what we have heard so far on these on this question before we go on? Okay, we will go on now to the next question here.
So the next question, What determines what level a soul will go to temporarily before reincarnation of the other 17 levels? Well, I think inherent in the answer already given was it's the balance of our being, the level of karma balanced, our ability to maintain a certain presence and stability, especially in our emotional body, our non-reactivity and acceptance of the disciplines of the spirit and the higher truths to come, and simply accepting who the ascended masters are and believing in them. Do souls serve God in particular assignments or missions while on one of these etheric levels before reincarnating? Yes. Oftentimes those who are even members of the Universal or Great World Brotherhood before they incarnate, because they have proven themselves in past lifetimes, do work with unascended masters and, in some cases, ascended masters on world projects or planetary projects, on working on what their mission will look like before they come into embodiment and how they can fulfill a certain role and a purpose for the Brotherhood, how they may work with other life streams to incarnate into a community of light. In the cases of the Heart Center and other communities of the Brotherhood, we all knew before we came that we had volunteered or vowed to support, uphold, and to help to grow these communities, and to primarily be there as a focus of life for the Brotherhood to sustain a dispensation.
All right, now here's a question for you. Do you think that any of the Masters can make karma while working with us? Have you ever known of a situation or heard of a situation like that?
Never have.
Has anybody else ever heard of something like that?
This is Lynn. I've heard of it. There was a time when the Master El Morya had taken on a certain level of karma from Chivas and from anyway, he was what they call benched for a time when
right.
He was not able to do work for his humans for a time until they made up the difference and started getting rallied together and started doing pleas to unbench Memoria so that he could once again work with
that's right.
And offer his light toward the projects and things that needed to be accomplished here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as individuals, when a master will give us a portion of light for a project or for work that we would like to accomplish for the Masters, and if we misuse that light, that energy, then the Master can also take on a karma for that.
That's right. That's excellent. We also heard earlier in this answer, we heard earlier that the Masters could acquire karma if they came to somebody on one of the levels of heaven who rejected him. The Master could acquire it, and the person who rejected him could acquire it. So we see in that situation that people can acquire a karma in heaven when they reject the truth there. And so the Masters tend, as we heard, not to come to people below the 10th level for that reason, unless they know that the people below do believe and would accept them, or they send emissaries to them, as Jesus said, that would be able to bring them up a little higher in their beliefs. But yes, I remember I was just barely learning about all these teachings, and it was some years ago, and it was through the Summit Lighthouse, And I can remember hearing about this wonderful master named El Moria, who had been one of the three wise men in a previous incarnation, and that he was here helping all of the people that wanted to learn about the masters and how to eventually become one ourselves. The masters are what we call our big brothers and our big sisters, and they simply have gotten there first, and they're now trying to bring us up with them. They only want to see us come up with them and go beyond, just like Elisha and Elijah, and just like Jesus with his disciples. He wanted them all to come up with him and go beyond and do greater. He said, greater things than I've done, well, you do, he said to his very disciples. So the masters want the most for us. And when El Moria gave and gave and gave of his light and the people weren't responding enough, they were not decreeing to him or calling to him or sending him their light and energy back and or doing the assignments he had given them, then he got benched, just like a football player gets benched. And he had to sit on the sidelines until they finally fulfilled some of their obligations. So now we'll go on here.
We know that when Moria was benched through the previous dispensation, it was very problematic, and so people came and prayed day by day by day. Some people came every night and prayed through El Moria, and the words of karma that he'd be unbenched. Some of you were there and know who you are and were completely dedicated to unbenching El Moria. In the case of the Heart Center, each and every one of you knew about this before it happened, and you stood up and said that you would support this dispensation. Some have come and gone. Some have received initiations and desired to move on to other areas, and that's their free will choice. Some come to check things out, and they're not really serious about the inner work or the requirements on the path, and so they just want to bask in the light for a time. And, you know, we should be understanding of those souls. They may not have a depth of a certain spirituality in terms of being the warriors of the spirits who want to last out and do the work to accomplish the dispensation and the mission and the goals and the objectives of their dispensation. But regardless of where people are coming from, we have to be understanding, loving, respecting, and kind to them, because we are in a new mode of non-reactivity and non-judgment, and people make choices. And one of the tenets of this movement, which is so beautifully expressed in the 800-word document, the Declaration of Spiritual Freedom, is that people can choose their rate of spiritual development. And we have to remind ourselves of this so that we don't get into a mode of judging or condemning or pegging people that they are not fulfilling their role, etc. It's really an individual free will choice. And I think that we, as people come and go, just simply need to love them, respect them, and bless them. Can you tell us more about nirvana and what occurs there and what level it is in heaven? There is the ultimate nirvana, which is above and outside of the earth in the great central sun. There are levels of beingness of nirvana in the 30th through 33rd planes of being, where solar lords and cosmic beings can vibrate and maintain a certain level of their presence and beingness to interact with ascended masters and those who temporarily may, through meditation, reach those heights of cosmic consciousness. What occurs at these levels is the interpenetrating of the mind and the heart into the very heart-mind connection of the divine. It is for the purpose of blessing and opening new portals and cosmic receptors within the etheric body of the disciple to be more receptive to the light from their presence and from solar beings. Entering nirvana, there is a cosmic stimulation of these cosmic receptors within the higher faculties of your being. Even the very cells, the light cells of your higher bodies. If you could see your God presence, what you would see is pure light and almost a formlessness that goes beyond what, from the human dimension, we perceive as being or form. And yet, even at this level, there are cosmic cellular light frequencies that are the composition of the being, of the solar being. These are what we would term solar cells. And in a nirvana experience, one is energized by these solar frequencies, almost like a recharging or an activation of these solar cells of your higher self. And for those who have received this energizing to the bliss of the nirvana experience, there is nothing like it in the human realm to compare with this divine experience. It is an action of the ascension flame. That has risen to the crown and vibrates within that solar chakra, the crown chakra being solar like a sun chakra, the yellow illumination chakra, to so activate the essence of the mind of God within the disciple that one receives the purity of God beingness at a new level. Those of you who regularly engage in silent meditation and have, through your devotion and an activation of your chakras at a higher frequency, begun to penetrate or have penetrated certain levels of nirvana, understand this bliss of pure beingness of which I speak. It is not something to trifle with or to simply attempt to experience without the ramifications of the fact that as you see or experience God, you can no longer live as man in the old ways. And therefore, the purpose of entering this bliss of nirvana is to then permanently make a new pathway of light for you to live in at a higher level of beingness and maintain that presence and focus in order to raise the entire planet and her people. Blessed one.
So we see that nirvana is the highest level of these 33 levels up. It's the 30th through the 33rd. And and you need to be at a very pure level to really totally experience that, although we get little glimpses of it. If we were just suddenly taken in our soul up to that top level, the masters have said we would simply burn up. It would be like a moth getting too close to the flame. It's just overwhelming, and we have to be stepped way up in our vibration before we can be there. So we are slowly ascending as we live day by day, hopefully. We see that we are all here to come up higher, but never to stay in the same place forever. And as we come up higher and become pure of mind and soul and heart, we will begin to have more and more amazing experiences with God and the Masters, just as it is prophesied in Acts 2:17-21, in case you would ever like to read a little bit about what the Bible has to say about it. I'm just going to read this real quickly. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Holy Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And that means fourth count. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapors of smoke. We don't know what all that means, but we can imagine. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So as we call on our Father, Mother, God, and as we continually stay in balance with our spiritual bodies and our spiritual self, and as we obey what we know our Father, Mother, God wants us to do day by day while we are here, as we walk in our Christ self, as we use things like the violet flame and other things that they're giving to us more and more daily almost, it seems like they're continually giving us more light for many situations. And I think that's because our planet is coming up higher, and we have a lot more help at this time as we go into the Aquarian Age or into the Great Golden Age. And remember this, remember the old saying, it's darkest before the dawn. So we have a few things to go through, but it's not going to be difficult as we stay in alignment and in attunement with God. I don't know if you have ever gone to a website called Earth Changes, but it's a very interesting website. You can just hit earthchanges.com, I think, or just put Earth Changes on Google. And there are many other websites, too. But this one is managed by a man who is very much in contact with NASA. He works closely with a lot of the scientists in these realms that study the Earth and what's happening on the Sun. The Sun is a very, very key, important part of what we're going through. And he tells us all of these very interesting things about what's down the road. I saw one time on his website a picture of what we call the Divine Presence, or the chart of the Divine Presence. And I thought, this is interesting. I wonder if he's studying the Masters too, because it sounds like it from time to time. Other interesting books I'm just going to mention real quickly are the Ringing Cedars series, or the Anastasia books. These are fantastic. They are coming out of Russia. And Russia is having, I would say, as I read these books, a wonderful spiritual revival at levels that we have no idea. It's kind of like we're changing places with Russians in some respects. Another book that's wonderful is Testimony of Light by Helen Graves. Her last name is spelled G-R-E-A-V-E-S. All of these things, if you don't get it right now and you would like to know more about them, please feel free to call me or email me or write me or whatever, and I would be glad to
Is your email number your phone number?
My email is donnacorth@verizon.net. And my phone number, no, it's not the same. My phone number is 903-885-2495, and my computer is turned on right now, and I'm on the phone, so it's no problem. So
I would like to first, what is it? The next word, first, you guys look up.
Okay. I'll send you this. Who am I talking to now?
George.
George.
I want the first Amazon book, but I'll have to get my daughter to call you.
Okay.
I'll be sending that.
Sure. I'll be glad to talk with your daughter and give her that information.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to close and with a closing invocation. Joanne, would you like to just give a brief closing prayer for all of us? You can hit star and then six. And then we will take prayer requests and share some prayer answers and prayer requests after that.
In the name of the I Am That I Am and the Holy Christ Self of each one present on this call, we call to our guardian angel, we call to the ascended masters, the beloved ones, who are always over. We ask that we be given the intercession to the raising of our consciousness, that we may know the next step on our path. We ask to be guided in every aspect of our lives, in our family, in our work, in our community. Show us how we may serve and how we may assist souls who are brought to us. We call on you, beloved, to give us the insight as to the next step in our own path, that we may have the enlightenment necessary, the God's vision to go forth. We call for the expansion within our hearts. We call for illumination and a greater connectivity to Thee, O beloved Father, Mother God. We thank Thee for all opportunities, and we give gratitude. Amen. We call for blessings and healing for all those on the call, all those with their special needs, that you may hear their needs this night. We thank Thee and accept the Son in full power.
Amen. Thank you, Duane. I just remembered I was going to mention just briefly about chemtrails because I had so many people ask me about them. People come into our my health food store and ask a lot of questions about them and or have information they want to give me. And I'm just going to say I looked up an area on the Internet. I tried to find both sides of the story, everything I could, and I could not find any good reasons why chemtrails are nothing to be alarmed about. Everything I found was the opposite, and I really was looking for reasons to take away any alarm. And I will also mention that not too long ago, just in fact maybe a month or so ago, I heard a Darshan question about chemtrails, and David Christopher Lewis, I can't remember which master was answering the question right now, but the master said that, yes, the chemtrails were bad and that they were instigated by the dark forces. And they were, in the way the dark forces work is they find people who are vibrating at their level. And then that way they can speak to them. They can whisper in their ears. They can speak to them at night when they're asleep. They can work with their souls. Of course, these people don't know that that's what's happening. But the dark forces are working, according to the masters, through certain beings on our planet who are responsible for the ingredients of the chemtrails. And I want to tell you how to protect yourself. First of all, I'm going to read briefly a paragraph here by a doctor, medical doctor, Stephen C. L. Homadou. I can't really say his name, but he says here, chemtrails are the kind of bad science commonly implemented to dismantle any information that gets too close to the truth. It's called discrediting. I can certainly verify the detrimental health effects from chemtrails in my practice. I see many patients, especially children, that appear to be suffering symptoms of irritability, unusual periods of uncontrolled behavior, allergies, asthma, or infection. I find their symptoms to be a direct result of the heavy metal poisoning they have been exposed to from chemtrail activity. Now let me mention, there are also something called contrails. Contrails are the normal trails put out by jet planes. Chemtrails are different in that when they come out, when you look up at the sky and you see them, they stay there most of the day. Contrails disappear within an hour. They're quite different. I read a testimony once by a man who was a mechanic who was assigned to put the stuff in an airplane, and he was so upset. He said that he would always put it in unmarked airplanes. And he finally went to his boss to ask him what this was all about, and the minute he did that, he was fired. So, anyway, this doctor goes on and he says, to the amazement of the parents of these children suffering from chemtrail problems, I give their children what they require for the toxic heavy metals indicated, and the symptoms magically disappear. Now they have begun to notice that when their children spend more time outside and when there's heavy chemtrail overcast there, their kids begin developing symptoms the next day, and sometimes even the same day. Of course, skeptics would attribute this to the power of suggestion. For these people, I usually recommend continued heavy doses of ignorance to maintain their comfort zones, since the ability to recognize observable details repeated with 100% accuracy may be too overwhelming for them. He's making fun here for people to debunk it. Then he says, the massive aerosoling of the atmosphere is occurring separately from the fuel system. A telling example came from this coverage, as was demonstrated when the researchers visited an air tower and they witnessed two unidentified airplanes making their big X chemtrail in the sky. These aircraft, they observed, have the ability to dispense huge quantities of these chemical solutions at will to create these massive designer clouds. I have personally observed aircraft to literally turn these chemical aerosols off and on, like Morse code, unlike a regular jet contrail. And then I looked up some information on Wikipedia, which says proponents have asserted that because explicit reference to chemtrails was entered by Congressman Dennis Kucinich, I cannot say his name very well either, into the congressional record, this constitutes official government acknowledgement of their existence. But that bill received an unfavorable evaluation and it died in the committee with no mention of chemtrails again. In any of the three subsequent failed attempts by Kucinich to enact what he called a Space Preservation Act, in other words, to keep our space pure, he tried to enact this. Yes, and it was ignored. So that's all I can tell you, but I can tell you this. You can go to any health food store and get a supplement that will help remove heavy metals. There is a product called zeolite liquid that I found on the internet. This removes heavy metals. There are a lot of other things that remove heavy metals. So I would encourage any and all of you, whenever you notice those chemtrails up there, and if you think you're feeling bad from any of them, or you have children that are outside playing, or children who are heavy in athletics, or people that run outside and do a lot of outside stuff, they may want to have some of that on hand. And now let's stop, and we'll take some prayer requests, and we can pray for these chemtrails not to affect people. We know this, that in the Darshan question that was asked some weeks ago, the Master told David that if we would surround ourselves with the light, the violet blazer light, and constantly say that from time, well, not constantly, but I mean as often as we can, say some violet flame decrees, bring down our tube of light, and call on the Masters for help. They will protect us. And so these are some things we can do, is to take, number one, call on the Masters and the violet laser light and your own tube of light to protect you. And number two, get some stuff that when you take it will combine with heavy metals and remove it from your body. We all have heavy metals anyway from just car exhaust. There's plenty of that and around. When you go into a parking lot, if you breathe deeply and a lot of cars are starting up or coming in, especially on rainy days where the pollution is held in the droplets of water in the air, you can suffer from heavy metal toxicity. Okay, let's take some prayer requests here. What can I be praying for you? What can we all be praying for each other? I'm putting down chemtrails here, and I would like to know how each of you are doing. You can let me see. Maybe I can unmute you here. Just a moment. Okay, now we should all be unmuted.
Is the chemtrail from a plane from outer space?
The chemtrails come from unmarked airplanes, and nobody can explain why they are there and why and where they're coming from, because we can't get an answer from the government.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other prayer requests we can take here tonight?
Yes, Donna.
Yes.
So,
Hello, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Donna, this is Shola. Can you, continue to please pray for my mom and her pain and her faith, and my sister and Deanna with their business, that everything goes well with that?
Yes.
And, for Nick also, that what he's trying to do his own type of business, whatever advertising he does, he gets a lot of responses for it.
Good.
You know, if you could pray for that, please.
Yeah, I'll pray for that for him.
And,
I'd like you all to pray for Minerva. I'm just giving first names here, but Minerva is suffering from, she's got general inflammation all over her body right now where she is swollen up and in very much pain and can hardly walk. So Minerva lives in Houston, and she needs your prayers. And I'm just going to mention these names again so you can all write them down and be praying for each other. For Diana and Lola, they are doctors, and they're wanting to start their own business, and we need to pray for their success because they are loving, caring, giving women doctors. For Shola, who is a computer person, and for Nick, her very dear boyfriend and his own business to succeed. Now we're going to hear some, sorry about this, we're going to hear some static and so forth because we're all unmuted. But go ahead and yell out your request and I can write it down.
Well,
yes.
I would like prayer for my daughter, son-in-law, and my grandson.
Uh-huh.
Because, my daughter does a lot of scientific work. She's a wonderful soul. But she, and my eldest grandson is was born an angel or an master, but he got into Wicca and he got into the bad stuff.
Okay. And, we'll pray for that.
If once in a while when he's cleared, and the entities are gone, he's a beautiful human being. And they suffer greatly because of this, but they can do much good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's Joyce.
Okay.
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
This is Rebecca. Would you please pray for Julie and Robert Lance? Their husband, father, just died in an accident. He was hunting snakes and he fell down a bank and the gun bounced and shot him, and he died. And then when they started to check into their finances, their trust fund had vanished, their IRAs had vanished, and there seems to be a lot of resistance toward selling anything. There's no money.
Okay.
And so they really need protection and opportunity to advance forward.
Right.
Where
do they live?
Pardon?
Where do they live?
Throckmorton, Texas.
Throckmorton, okay. And Rebecca, how are you doing? Are you having any, how is your vision? Has it improved at all?
Well, sometimes it's better. I got glasses and I can see 20/50, so I'm But I'm having more trouble driving, especially at night.
That's hard, I know.
So,
I know he's got to work at night. Okay.
So, yeah, and I work at night.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
Yes, I should say. Any other requests?
Donna, I just want to thank you for all the prayers, Deanna, for all the prayers you've given for in the group and also for my father. He was recently discharged from the hospital for congestive heart failure, and he's doing much better now. Thank you for your prayers, and also thank you for prayers for helping us, me and Lola, with the business company, and thank you, Shola, for asking for that prayer, too.
Okay, yes, you're welcome, Diana. Anything else?
It's been a wonderful little service for me to hear. I'm very thrilled with this.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Okay, I will close in just a brief prayer for these particular requests and for our planet. Beloved Father, Mother, God, of each one here on this call and all of our Christ selves and our souls and our Holy Spirit who is here with us, and our beloved Archangel Michael and all the Archangels, Mother Mary, and Saint Germain and Portia, and Lord Jesus especially, we thank you for answering our questions and being with us, and we do pray that we will all come up higher and be one at in the same place with our masters. We pray now for your continued protection against things like chemtrails and other things that are happening on our planet that we don't understand. Help us to be freed from these things, and we pray for the removal of the causes of those things that are pulling down this planet. I thank you for your help for Diana's father, who had the congestive heart failure and kidney problems in the past, and we pray for his continued well-being, and for as long as you would have him to be here, help him to turn to you and depend upon you for everything, and to grow thereby. Thank you for Rebecca continuing to do well, despite the fact that she has to work hard and she has had her physical problems, and we pray for her protection of her vision. We thank you for Joyce, and even though Joyce is legally blind, we thank you for all that she's able to do and for her loving family. We pray for her daughter and her son-in-law and her grandson and each one of their spiritual levels where they are, help them to come up higher and to see things correctly, as you would have them to see with the master's eyes what they need to know. For Minerva, we pray for relief from this inflammatory condition that she has, and for accurate help from her doctor, and for the right medication that she needs to relieve her inflammation. And we pray for all of us tonight to have joy, because we know that when we have the joy of the Lord, even as Jesus mentioned, that joy is so important in communicating with the masters and the angels. It just draws them to us. We pray for Nick as he starts his own business, that you would just give him great insight and draw people to him. We pray for Shola to be the right encouragement for him and the right balance, and we thank you for her good job. We pray for Diana and Lola to find the business that they need to practice medicine and to do what they want to do in reaching out and helping others, and the example that they are to us. We pray for all of our friends, our relatives, and tonight we pray for the children, the unborn children, and the seventh root race that's coming into this planet for their protection. And for the leaders of tomorrow, that the leaders of tomorrow will not be power hungry or greedy, but they will desire to do God's will. Help us to reach out and be that example and to send forth our light as we do our prayers and our calls daily. Help us to visualize as we close our eyes those pinpoints of light all over the planet from the violet flame penetrating, saturating, and filling every body on this planet with light that cleanses them or removes them if they do not desire to do God's will. Thank you for what you're doing, what we know and what we do not know. We thank you. In the name of the Father, the Mother, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you very much.
Good night, all.
And good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
I don't think John came on. John
Okay, Rebecca was on, but not John.
Right, right. John didn't make it. I'm just worried about him. We just got to keep praying for him.
I thought he was on. I would like to pray for his hernia.
Yes.
And his memory. And I want to thank you for the help with my shoulder very much. And,
good.
Caroline's bleeding internally. She needs another surgery to connect the thin part of her intestine.
Oh, good. I'll put her down here.
Yeah, and her daughter has been physically abused and won't sign papers, and she wants to take the baby from a monster that is in the family. And I know Don needs help, and I would like to talk to you a little bit about that tomorrow, if I could call you.
Sure, that's fine.
And give energy to Caroline, because she's working to Johnson. She's so very, very tired with this extra work she's doing and with this internal sleep.
Oh, I will. I will really pray for Caroline.
And
she's bleeding internally, and I'm going to pray for this friction and problem with her daughter.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And,
Ellen, coming along.
Ellen is coming along okay?
It's coming along. She coughed up a lot of phlegm. And, he had something around his heart preventing his heart circulation, and he got some drops for that. But I think he's more depressed about financial things.
Yeah.
But I can talk to you tomorrow. I can talk to you about something.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks very much. I really feel your prayers.
Oh, good.
The peacefulness in our home.
Oh, good.
I sent these to John, too. I think he was on earlier.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Donna?
Yes.
This is Barbara Steele. I sent Don a note. I wrote him a note a couple of days ago and mailed it to that address in Hemp Hill that have. Well, hopefully he's got it. Oh, Philip actually has a computer that he can give him.
Oh.
He can figure out some way to get it into his hands.
Yeah.
Of course, he's welcome to ride up to Montana and back. I even found a place for him to stay. So if you hear anything from him, be sure and pass that information along to him and see if he can call either me or Philip.
Okay.
Probably me, because Philip's just not available between 5 and 10 p.m., so.
Right. Okay.
I also had email conversation with Mario today. He is not able to go to the conference at all.
No.
Yeah, this is the first summer conference he's going to have to miss. The one other driver that works for his company is taking that same week off because son is getting married. So
no
way that he can be gone at the same time.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't for this guy's son getting married, he would be willing to, you know, trade the time, but not this year. So.
Oh, wow.
But he wants to be available to go to Shasta and to go to Austin for the weekend in November. And anyway.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So, but yeah, he said he'll just tune in on the internet and participate.
Oh, good. Oh, thanks for telling me that. I was wondering about that. Okay.
I was upset. I found that out from Lisa Delaney a few days ago when I was talking to her about working with the teams and stuff, and I said something about Mario, and she said, oh, he's not coming, and I just went, what? You know? And so I didn't know if it was money or if he couldn't get off from school and work or what. So sending this kind of little desperate message earlier in the week and would take him up there for free, and I found a place for him to stay for practically nothing, you know, and offered to help with his conference fees, whatever he needed if the issue was financial, but I suspected it was scheduling. he always makes it happen.
Yeah. He's so good with the teens, too.
Yeah. Well, Sam's going to help Lisa talk to Sam. And, well, Sam will be 21 in September, you know. He's about time he kind of stepped up to the plate some, so he's kind of enlisting his help to kind of be like a junior partner or something. And
good.
Something, so.
Yeah. So what about Ben?
Well, Ben has a new job, and he's working 7 days a week, and he cannot afford to take off right now, so he's not able to go. So he's going to stay here and our house sitter and pet sitter while we're gone. So that's a good thing because he can use that money more than paying the neighbors. So, but. He's okay with it. He'd like to go with us, but it's not going to ruin his life to not go. So maybe next year, but right now not. So anyway, I got a really great email from Patricia Carlson. Did you see that today?
I didn't. I haven't even gotten a time to look at my emails today. What did she say?
Well, do you have a moment?
Yeah.
Can I read you this email, Donna?
Sure.
It's entitled "Possible New Heart Friends?" And she sent it to you and to Patricia, Wes, and to me. She said, "Hi, ladies. I thought I'd give you a heads up on a very interesting coincidence." And she put that in parentheses. Three couples who are former Stell residents and live in Dallas are staying in my house for the big Stell reunion here the weekend of the 4th of July. One reason I'm not going to come.
Uh-huh.
One of them, Malcolm and Joanna Carnahan, built my house in the 70s. The other two, Kitty and Walter Ring, and Becky and Glenn Taylor, are coming with the encouragement of the Carnahan, who says are the couple I'd like most like to come of all previous Bell residents, so they're well liked by everybody who lives up there.
Oh my.
They are very excited about coming and getting to stay in their old house. Rings lived in the house that is now belongs to Hermes and Kiba. They miss the feeling of community they had at Bell. When Joanna Carnahan first emailed me a while back, I mentioned I might be gone to a Heart Center conference while they were here. She immediately wanted to know what it was so she could learn about my spiritual path. So I gave her the Heart Center website address, perhaps prematurely. She didn't respond back, so I'm guessing she may have the same impression most Dellites do, that messengers are psychic and to be avoided. Per the teachings of Richard Tenninger, who started Stell.
Yeah.
He was actually a distant relative of
Claire Louise.
The Stell teachings were based on the Lemurian civilization, however, and are very similar to ours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finally reading Richard Tenninger's book, The Ultimate Frontier, so I can speak the language better and to find out what drew so many beautiful souls here.
Yeah.
David read the book when he was a teenager. So, anyway, put these couples in your calls, and let's take them to the retreat, so who knows what might happen.
Yes.
Also, please put in your calls David's potential coming here August 7th through 9th. Keep it in alchemy for now, as it isn't finalized. The Masters have suggested we invite him here, and this is his one window for the year. It will be sponsored by Amethyst, who will be all about violet flame with new teachings. We are very excited. Kuan Yin had placed an amethyst stone here back before our heartbreak, which she also has in quotes. And we want to be sure it is reestablished. David says that's one of the reasons for his coming. Love and blessings to all of you, and God victory on your class tonight, Donna.
So good.
Love, Patricia. P.S. I just mentioned this to Vernon, but wanted to let you know too, Donna, that a nurse here in Stell who has who has had fibromyalgia for 25 years, just told me about the list of supplements she has found helpful, and she gave me an article about enzyme TX for all the inflammatory conditions. One is Wobenzyme.
Yes, I sell that.
And when I wrote Celeste Miller to see if Thomas found anything helpful, he's had fibro for many years.
Yeah.
She wrote back and said no, but her daughter worked at a clinic where a doctor came a month ago to give a training, and his book tells all about Wobenzyme and whatever, which he recommends to his patients. They are planning to try it for Tom.
Good.
Celeste said, systemic oral enzymes is the new hot area of treatment.
Oh, my.
I know you and Vernon know a lot about enzymes, Patricia, but I hadn't heard of using them to treat all the inflammatory conditions. Anyway, interesting stuff.
I didn't figure
you'd had a chance to take a look at that.
No, I hadn't.
Anyway, these three couples that are going to be in Spell all live in Dallas, apparently.
Oh.
So I emailed Patricia and asked her to give them our contact information and vice versa, so perhaps we can go visit them or invite them over sometime or just to get together and hang out.
Yeah.
And maybe even invite Alencia. You know, Alencia used to live in Spell. Did you know that?
Yes, I remember her telling
you. So I think that would be very cool, too, to just have a casual evening, you know, have a dinner or a cookout and just get acquainted with these people.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yeah.
So,
great idea.
I get information. Also, I'm in the process of setting up a little road trip for myself at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go up to Lincoln, Nebraska and visit Catherine Shade.
Oh.
I just found out a few days ago that one of my best friends from high school lives up there in Lincoln and has for many years and is the head of the children's theater in Lincoln, and they're doing a big production that weekend,
the tail end of
July, 1st of August, and I thought, you know what, I should just go up there for a few days, and Catherine was delighted
to
have me come visit her, I'm sure, and I could see my friend and her show and everything, and anyway, I looked it up on the map a couple of days ago, and I have a cousin who lives outside of Wichita, which is about halfway, so I could just stay there and visit her. She would be thrilled if I came this year again, so I think I'm just going to go ahead and drive up there myself, but Catherine definitely needs all the friends she can get, I'm sure.
Yes, she does. She does.
And, it would be, anyway, I just got the kick in the pants to just do it. So I've been thinking about it ever since she went up there. I thought, I just need to go up and see her sometime, but the plane fare is expensive, and I thought, you know, if I could just drive and stop along the way, I'd be okay.
Uh-huh.
And when I looked on the map and saw where my cousin's place was, we used to stop there going from St. Louis out to Colorado because it was about halfway going east and west. But it's also about halfway between Dallas and Lincoln, so that's interesting. It's right along the way. So
I got you. Tell me the dates of once more of the trip to Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah. We're leaving August 20th, and coming back on the 27th.
We're
all flying on the same plane, both down and back down, all four.
That's so neat.
So
we're going to have a ball.
We'll have the non-alcoholic margarita heaven.
Yeah.
More mangoes!
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great.
I even ordered a bathing suit.
Oh, good. I need to do that.
Well, it's hard for a large woman to find something that's going to actually hold up your front end. So, anyway.
Well, I am just looking forward to it.
You've done so much work on this class, and you sent out a zillion emails and everything. You've really done due diligence, and I applaud your efforts.
Oh, well, as long as I only do it once a month.
Really? So, yeah, I'm looking at the calendar, and if it would be, maybe it would be a good idea to do one if you want to continue with the Wednesday or Thursday night, maybe like the 22nd or 23rd of July.
July, yeah.
There to do one.
That's what I'm thinking that too. I'll just have to look at that and plan on that.
I mean, I was looking at the calendar today, and that was just kind of the, you know, where you just get the little message on the inner, you know.
I may do it on the 30th of July because I'm getting back on the 13th of July from, when I'm in at Big Sky, Russell picked me up and we'll go up to Twin Bridges, which is about 100 miles north or something of Big Sky, and he's going to go fishing and we'll go hiking and we'll go to the other entrance, the back entrance of Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get back, I will have a mess of stuff to try to clean up here.
I bet you will.
And that
well,
will
whenever,
be
but I won't be in. I probably won't be in town the 30th. So
that's right, you won't.
I'd be at my cousin's house. So.
Okay. Well, I might try the 29th, but of course that won't help either because you're being on the road. But we'll see. We'll have
we'll
to
see.
Just play it by ear.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks again for your answers, and it was just so great to have you and Dwayne on the phone helping.
Yeah, we're an interesting balance, very different approaches to it. Fleshes things out. We have people with very, very different experience all in there together.
Yeah, that's true. And I could hear you very clearly tonight. It was very good.
Good.
Thing.
I put my face right down to the phone.
That was good. That was good because you came through very clearly, and that was very helpful.
Yeah, I have trouble hearing Dwayne on the closing prayer. She's got kind of a soft voice anyway.
Yeah, she does. She does. I could hear her. But you know, fortunately, we had a nice clear line tonight, so that was good.
She doesn't need to go on a voice chat.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. Dear.
Put a star on your shirt, my dear.
Well, you put one in yours, too.
Okay, I'll take all I can get.
Yes, let's do. Okay.
Okay, onward and upward, dear.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.